Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, good morning to you and welcome to Freedom Friday on this beautiful day we're going to have here today. It's still a little bit warm, not as warm as yesterday, but it's going to be a nice day.
I'll take
what's
it.
Normal, what's normal highs?
Around 40, season? 41, around this.
That's normal
time.
Highs?
Mm-hmm, that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Really? I thought it was in the 30s.
No, not too.
No, much that's yet. Like February.
You know, you got to be careful down here because when you get to February,
yeah.
You kind of get thinking,
oh,
winter should
spring.
Be getting
over. <That's>, no.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can do that in Alaska because Alaska,
oh, I'm sure.
February, the first week of February is a good week. And here's why. The sun is out. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The it's been so dark in the winter months.
True that.
That when February rolls around and the sun's actually coming out
mm-hmm.
at a reasonable time.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, you got some of that. I mean, winter's still a long ways off because, I mean, the Iditarod doesn't start until the first week of March in Alaska.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So crazy.
But February first week feels like we're getting there.
What's yeah. the month that's pitch black, dark? Like
well,
the sun doesn't
first
come
off,
up.
Well, the sun comes up in Anchorage.
Okay.
But the shortest day of the year is uh-huh. winter solstice, so that's December 21st.
And for that, they have not a whole lot of sunlight.
Oh, my word, like, no. I mean, the sun's going back down at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
It's so interesting.
It's so depressing.
But it's not coming up until 10.
It's like,
oh, man.
Wow.
Never
okay.
ending night.
Nice 4 hours.
Never mind.
Yeah, but in the winter, I mean, in the summer, June 21st,
all day.
Man. When I was a kid, man, I'd go fishing at midnight and I could tie flies in the middle of the night without a flashlight.
I don't know. I could live in Alaska. I would enjoy it.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Especially John Miller.
I know.
Oh,
I mean,
there
fit
you go.
Right. I always tell him that. I'm like, you'd fit right in.
John Beef Jerky Miller was born in the wrong. Well, Indiana's pretty goat roper that way.
Excuse
Wisconsin,
me?
Indiana, Colorado, and
back it up
Alaska.
A minute. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Superdad was going to say anything.
Our resident Hoosier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Like, what?
We love Indiana.
So, by the way, did you enjoy your buffet yesterday, Young Thunder, for your birthday?
I did. I enjoyed it so much, we brought it back again today.
Did you have
leftovers.
A tummy ache?
What?
Did you have a tummy ache?
No.
Leftovers.
Well, you ate all morning long.
I got a gut of steel.
I benefited, so.
Yeah. Maybe you should have benefited.
Was there anything left over for me at all?
Maybe you should have.
Yes. There's plenty.
Always plenty. But sorry, there's no bird seed over here, so
yeah,
you don't want to eat it.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. Well, she got you.
Going to be one of those Fridays.
One of those days.
There you go.
Got you. No scatting today, huh, Carl?
Yeah, no singing.
Oh, man.
Come on. Give me a little.
No, you give me a
come
little.
Come on.
Actually, I'll give you some.
Are you kidding?
That was Carl warming up this morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it sounds just like him, actually. All right, enough of that.
You
that
have
is
been
crazy.
Holding on to that.
Oh, yeah. Since
I was trying to bait you
yesterday.
Into it.
Yeah, you can thank
at
Young
seven.
That was
for
well
that one.
Played. Well played.
I was like, man, I said before we started, yeah. I said, if he starts scatting, play yeah. this.
This is Jonathan's idea.
And
it's
then,
not mine.
And then you didn't
I
scat.
Saw, well, I saw that wry grin on your face, and I'm like, he's yeah. up to something.
Yeah, I know. And
sure
you were
enough.
Like, you do it.
Give me a little bit more of that. This is Young Thunder, right. Early this morning, 3 a.m.
No, this is you.
I'm a scat man. That is hilarious.
It's such a good song.
Alan's dancing now. What is going on?
That's really a good song.
It's such a good song.
It reminds me of Carl. Like,
oh, yeah,
Carl's
right.
warming up.
No,
you like this kind of music. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, this is, my dad would love this.
You, this
really?
Is like a
your
great
dad?
A driving
oh,
yeah. song.
We're going to put this in the dad
yeah,
column.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. I'm putting
really?
It in the dad category.
I think my mom would like that.
Listen,
I don't know about
hold
my
it.
Dad.
We almost need an interpreter for this guy.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm feeling 1 Corinthians right
it does
now.
Does feel like church a little bit. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just leaving that right there. Turn him up a little bit. This guy's good. That's too funny.
So
so funny.
You know, there's some guys that preach in this style right here.
There's some that pray, too.
Absolutely.
Scatting.
Boy, you keep living on the edge, Sputnik.
I will.
Okay, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to be talking today on this Freedom Friday about the emptiness of self-help. But first, we're going to talk about all the ways we try to do it. All the fun little things that are popular in our culture today to do self-help. It's coming up straight ahead.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
No, now it's stuck in your head.
Oh, it is. It's so catchy.
It is
so
really catchy.
That's one that you can just like cruise down the highway on. You know, with
your
family.
How did you find out about that? I've never heard this song before.
Elementary school,
like
I believe.
At the top.
One of my friends in elementary school showed me this song, and it's been in my head ever since.
Like an earworm.
Wow.
Last 20 years.
It is an earworm.
Wow.
It's a bad one. Okay, guys, we're talking about, on this Freedom Friday, we're talking about how self-help never really helps us at all. So what are some of the self-help products that are out there, guys? Come on.
Oh, I mean, there's a device that helps you keep track of your lost items. Apple has this device now that you can attach to something.
Ah, yes.
To help you keep track
of
stuff.
You know what? I had it, but I lost that device.
Really?
No, what is the device? No.
Oh.
What is it called?
How do you do that?
Tile?
I don't know, but you can put it in your suitcase, right?
You can put it on anything. You can put it on like your keychain.
Yeah, it's called a tile.
I need that.
Oh, a tile. Yeah, you can put it on lots of things.
It's a little square that you can hook onto like anything that you may lose often.
Do you have one, Carl?
For my
luggage?
Dentures, yeah, I got it.
Okay, wow.
I spit those suckers out in the night. I don't know if they go under the bed.
Again, I was not expecting this.
Imagine putting a tile on your dentures.
That's good.
Ew.
What are some of the other self-help?
Well, I think of like Atomic Habits. I finished that book this year. And
that's a good book.
It's good for habit building and stuff like that, but it's definitely in the self-help category.
Yeah,
and you know, it's interesting because, I mean, that book actually catalyzed me to say, hold it a second. This guy's got some phenomenal ideas.
Yeah.
What if God put the fuel into this thing? Because his whole thing is about creating systems that are functional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I'm trying to do with this book called The Seven Resolutions Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins. Because you can't just say, I'm going to let go and let God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you also, if you try to do this self-help thing,
it doesn't go very far.
It doesn't go very far, does it?
Mm-mm.
It's really funny.
In my neighborhood, there are signs that people put up. We talked about this earlier in the week. You are enough. You know, those kinds of sayings
mantras,
and stuff that are out on people's yards.
Really?
Affirmations.
Yes. Affirmations. That's a self-help.
My wife puts those up for me around our home, but I didn't know they were putting up.
Well, if she puts them up,
that's
then
a good thing.
You know, those
no, that's a good thing.
Yes.
So, are you serious? Those things are put out now.
Yeah. Like,
for what reason?
I don't know. When I'm walking around the neighborhood with my dog, I see them.
They're
like picketed in people's yards.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I think they're just meant to try and encourage people as they're going about their days.
Be kind. Got it. There's a lot of those around.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's racism doesn't live here signs on lawns and stuff like that.
Which,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, so what other self-help stuff out there?
Here's some common life hacks. You can bounce batteries to see if they're good or bad. Did you know that?
If they give one small
bounce and fall right over, they're good. If they bounce around more than that, they're dead.
Hold it.
What?
Say this again. Like, how do you bounce it? You mean like
you
throw it down?
You drop them on a table from like 6 inches. So you just give it a little drop, not like off of the ladder, but you just drop it on a table. If it gives a small bounce and falls over, it's good. If it bounces around more than that, it's dead or on its way out. Now, this is according to a life hack website, so I've not tested this.
Huh.
But another one, when you're traveling, keep a bar of scented soap where you keep your dirty laundry so it keeps everything smelling clean.
That's pretty smart.
Natural peanut butter, store it upside down so it doesn't separate as much.
Really?
The minute I get organic peanut butter, I put it in the fridge upside down.
Good because I hate organic peanut butter when it separates.
No,
so you don't have that oily mess.
Well, what happens then is that oil's now trying to float, so it's trying to float
through the peanut butter.
And it works. Yeah.
Yes.
That one works.
Wow. Here's another one. I've not tried this. You can put old newspaper, line the bottom of your trash bin with old newspaper so it absorbs anything that's liquid.
so that it doesn't, you know, your garbage doesn't kind of seep.
Or in case there's a leak.
I love these things. So
that's
great.
That's a good one.
Myself feels helped today.
There you go.
Well, you know what? Huh. I'll tell you this.
Here we go.
What are you going to say to me?
You bounce your head off that door jamb, and if it keeps bouncing, you're dead.
It's empty.
Oh, man. This is...
Here's one more. This, Carl, you'll have to try this one, because you don't like having someone saying, smile and take a picture. You
hate that.
Yeah, you
do. So when you're taking a picture, squint your eyes a little bit to make your smile look more genuine.
Oh, I squint my eyes. That's so...
No, you have two types of
working?
Smiles.
No, it didn't work.
It's like
Why would you try that?
No, that's creepy.
Is that genuine? Is that genuine?
I'm trying it,
I mean, it's a hack.
We got to post a video of that.
It doesn't look normal.
No, we do not.
Oh, you think that's normal? Look at him. Yeah. You look constipated.
What are you, like the sun's in your eyes or something?
I squint my eyes all the time when I smile.
Like, let me try it one more time.
We lost Allie. She's crying now.
I'm crying laughing.
Try it as clear as I can.
Okay, let's see.
Is that any better?
No!
No, your cheek was twitching.
You look like one of those mannequins that they put up at the store.
Okay, so those are some life hacks. Try them. I can't recommend them because I haven't tried them, but they sound good.
Oh, that's funny.
All I know is that when Young Thunder does that, I want to run out and get Gas X for the poor kid. That's all I'm telling you.
I gotta go. I'm gonna take the rest of the day off.
All right, coming up in just a moment, guys, we're going to jump into it. We actually have a passage of scripture for that.
Oh, that's good.
So those are life hacks to kind of make your day go smoothly, your pictures turn out better. What about life hacks for the real stuff? Can you life hack your way to peace or joy? What do you think?
Jesus confronted a group of guys that were trying to. Coming up.
Talking about Jesus and having fun while doing it. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Oh, boy, Jesus is on fire. Let me tell you that for sure. Okay, guys, we're tackling this whole thing today on this Freedom Friday, the futility of self-help. Let me jump into a passage of scripture here right away. This is so cool. This is called the woes passage. The woes, as in whoa. And that's basically what happens here. Check this out. While Jesus was speaking, this is Luke 11:37. A Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." This is powerful. You know what the self-help these guys were stuck on here? And I want to be careful that we don't create too big a bucket, because all these little symptoms that we're going to look at here today are all symptomatic of a self-help life.
Yeah.
Not God-powered at all. But these guys were fixated on... man looks on the outside, and these were the masters of the universe at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They were all about what's going on the outside. And baby, you had to play by their rules, which was, can't believe he didn't wash up before dinner. Now, your mama can say that to you all day long, but Jesus was trying to prove a point here.
Yeah.
And it's a great point. What do you think about this?
I think it's really cool. Because at first I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, yeah, why didn't he wash up as you were reading that passage? I was like, what was the purpose behind that? But the fact that he purposely didn't so that he could present this metaphor to them, I think is super cool.
What's the self-help issue here, Allie?
Well, it's the focus on external things. Mm. So the washing before dinner, and then it goes on to talk about tithing and mint and rue and every herb, but neglecting the love of God and justice. So it's this kind of majoring on the minors, focusing on the external things that are going to make me look presentable and clean on the outside, and neglecting the junk that's going on the inside that only Jesus can fix.
Yeah, so we're focusing right now on verse 37 through 41, because that is focused on this outside external stuff, right?
Yep.
Okay, this is cool. Coming up here, we're going to keep walking through this thing, because there's kind of different nuances to this, because the Pharisees keep taking him on. Actually, Jesus, they opened the door. Jesus said, thank you very much. I'm going to come in here like a bull in a china shop, and I'm going to kick a few things around. And what he was dealing with was this whole self-help spirituality, which is no spirituality at all.
No, washing that outside of the cup. And, man, it's like a travel mug. You always say that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, those nasty travel mugs. Come on, let's just talk about this
inside.
For a second.
Whoa.
I mean, come on, you can have that outside scrubbed up, but the inside, line after line, you can see all the different lines of where it was filled at Starbucks and where it sat in the car for an extra week. And you poured it out, but you didn't really scrub it out well.
Oh, no.
The outside's clean.
The outside's stainless and it's beautiful, but the inside's got all these different, it's like the rings of a tree. You can see how old that cup is. how many cups of coffee you've had since you cleaned it out last.
That's gross.
It's gross. It's called a travel mug, and that's what Jesus was talking about here. All right, coming up, we're going to break it down. Tithing dill and mint? What's going on? I've never tithed any of that. Straight ahead.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast. 12 days of Christmas, day 3. Who's getting today's gift? Well, you want to find out how you can enter. Go to carlandcrew.org. Really easy. Click on 12 days of Christmas. One online entry and you're good. So if you've already done this, check. You're done. 8 o'clock, we're going to be asking for a call-in winner in the 8 o'clock hour. Just be listening and we'll tell you when to call.
Can I win?
No.
No.
What if I go back in the back room and I call and I don't tell you
no.
who I am?
I'll tell you what, you can do this.
Okay.
And if you did, I'd come after you. But you could quit and go to HR and tell them you quit, hand in your badge, and then call in.
All for this?
I would recommend not doing it.
These are great prizes,
since
but
I actually
don't
appreciate
give up your day
you
job.
Being here.
I probably won't quit my job for it, okay. But...
Some of the gifts are close.
They're
I mean,
I
if,
know,
if you're
for
about,
real.
If you're about to quit,
you
in
might
week,
as well
you might, you
pick
might
around
12
days
early.
For Christmas.
Go to carlandcrew.org, click on 12 days of Christmas, and then the 8 o'clock hour, we're going on Facebook Live to open a gift that's going to be for two different winners in the Boom Crew.
Okay, so this next self-help is really good. So here it is. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb. In other words, they're just putting it out there, man, right? Because they're tithing off of what they have and have harvested and all that, first fruits. And he says, let me get over here. So you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you like unmarked graves and people walk over them without knowing it. Here's what he's saying in this passage, all the way 42 through 44. He's talking about all this external stuff that you're doing, but this self-help is actually leading to the neglect of your fellow man, and it is disgusting. It's this posturing while not caring for people.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of wanting the best seat, wanting to be seen well, doing these little things that you think are going to make you look better in front of other people.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all self-effort, and it's all for the approval of man.
Yeah, but it actually, because you're not powered by God, you can't love mankind like God even has called you to love them. Now, can you do good things? Yeah, we're made in the image of God. And this notion that unless you're born again, you can't do anything good is just nonsensical. In fact, we look stupid when we say that.
Yeah.
If you want to know the truth, we look really dumb. Because the fact is, as we are born into this world, we have some capacity to do some good things. Talking about this recently with someone. They said, well, I've got some friends, got into a discussion about what in the world genuine transformation looks like.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I've got friends that do really good things. And I said, well, doing really good things does not mean that you're on the path to heaven with mm-hmm. God. And I went back to the most stunning example I've ever had of this was some old black and white footage I saw that was shot at a home way up in the mountains. It was kind of a resort home for a man named Adolf Hitler.
Oh, wow.
And the footage was of him playing with his grandchildren out in a big field area and then sitting on this chair and bouncing his grandchildren on his knee. Now, if you take that picture of this guy named Adolf Hitler and you didn't know anything about World War II, you didn't know about the Holocaust, you would look at this guy and you'd go, yeah, this is a nice guy.
How precious is that?
How precious
is that? A granddad
with
his grandkids.
Because it's precious footage. If you can emotionally separate yourself from this little small mustache guy who's got a big, genuine grin on his face as he's delighting over his grandkids. So this notion that the most despicable behaviors coming out of people can't coexist with some nice things is just nonsense. Of course, lost people can do nice things. Adolf Hitler proves it. But what we're talking about here is that self-help, the notion that you can somehow conjure up this within you, you're ultimately going to break down. You're going to neglect the people that need love the most. And the veil of righteousness is very thin.
And so we all can do this even after we come to know Christ. But before you know the Lord, there were things that you were trying to do to make your life more presentable, to try to self-help your way to a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy, kind of so that you could live with yourself. Those little things that you do, that
totally.
Let me give a little bit to charity this month, or any number of things that you can resort to, so you can live with yourself.
Yeah, totally. I can live with myself. That's a great way to put it. Okay, coming up here, we're going to tackle another one. This is a good one. You know, sometimes when we're living in self-helpville, you know what happens? We start expecting more of other people than we ever would of ourselves.
Ooh. Ouch.
Oh, yeah. We'll show you the passage to back that one up.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right. This is great. Okay. What ground have we covered so far? Let's go through it. Allie, can you remember?
Yeah. I mean, we're looking in Luke 11 that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And it starts with them astonished to see that he didn't wash before dinner. And they're just horrified by that. And he points out their tendency to clean the outside of a cup and ignore the grungy stuff that's on the inside. And then they also have these practices. They're diligent to tithe on mint and rue and herbs, but somehow overlook the justice and love of God. So this emphasis on doing little things that try to maybe earn approval or look good for other people. But again, that inside stuff is still there.
Yeah, it's like doing good, but not doing the real good.
Yeah.
Right? Well, have we got a dandy for you? Oh, I love this one. Isn't God's word good, guys? Check this out. One of the lawyers then asked him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." You know what I want to say to that? No, duh. Mm-hmm. Now you're finally getting it here.
I
mean, come on. Are you kidding me? That's the point of what he's doing.
It's a hilarious verse.
It really is a hilarious verse. You are insulting us. In verse 46, and he said, Jesus, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Let's just stop right there. That's verse 45 and 46. You know what's going on here? When you're in self-helpville, you don't have the mojo to really get her done. See, what he's accusing them of is not just giving equal loads to people. He's saying you're giving loads to people that you yourself won't even try to pick up.
Wow.
What an amazing thing. See, when you're living in self-help and not in God's power, you actually try to make yourself look better by foisting loads on other people that they can't carry off themselves.
Yeah. And expecting a lot out of other people. Have you ever had somebody who, you know, their life is just an absolute wreck, but they look over at the next guy and whatever they did to offend them, or, I mean, the outsized expectations of what other people should be doing?
Totally. And this is interesting because we're going down a path here with this one that is not eisegesis. It's good exegesis. We're taking meaning out of the text. There is something fascinating going on here. I mean, really interesting. And that is that Jesus is saying, you're putting all these rules on other people, but you yourself aren't willing to lift a finger to do this. There's a lot of people living in self-help that get angry at the church and they call out hypocrite and all this. And for some time, some that's legitimate, but for others, it's just that they in their little self-help world have constructed a caricature of what a perfect Christian should be, but they could never possibly do it themselves. They just put it out there and it makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just true, guys.
Yeah.
God's word is so powerful. Okay, so coming up here, we're gonna shift gears and we're gonna start wrestling with all the other ways. Because aren't there myriad ways that we do self-help without God's power? And I mean, but they all fit into this bracket, don't they? Kind of external religious routines while forgetting that real religion, using James's word, is to help widows and orphans in their need. So you can say, I've got real religion. But if you aren't really caring for the needs of people, that ain't the real deal. And then because your self-help ain't working, you then foist all these rules on everyone else that you yourself aren't willing to do yourself.
Man, I can think of so many examples of how this plays out.
Okay, coming up, we're going to get some of those examples of how this plays out straight ahead.
Carl and Crew is your show, Boom Crew. Let your voice be heard. Give us a call at 312-274-9624.
All right, guys, it is a beautiful topic that we're hitting today. We're on this Freedom Friday. We're talking about the self-help things that we do that actually don't help us at all. We actually don't get into the real power of God. So we've got three of them here, and then Allie's going to illustrate these from the life of Young Thunder. I mean, from different things that happen in this world. We've got, obviously,
of course, I know.
If there was truth in that, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Much truth in that.
I might go
appearance
running for the hills.
Focus. Here are the three R. We love to mess around in here.
Yeah.
All right. Appearance focus. That's one that we found. I mean, because they were all about cleaning the outside of the cup, but not the inside. And Jesus busted them out. Performance focus, which is, we're going to tithe and we're going to get 10% of our mint and dill and all the great little peppers and things that we have. We're going to get it tithe. But we're going to neglect the guy next door who's without a home and without food. And then we've got others focused from a not so good way.
Yeah.
They are focused on, they put rules, regulations, and expectations on other people that they weren't even willing to touch themselves, thereby trying to prove that they're somehow superior. What a bunch of frauds.
Yeah. So you think about this first one, this appearance focus. What comes to mind for me is people who are concerned about nice home, nice clothes, Instagram-worthy family photos, this external appearance of everything being tidied up, buttoned down. There, if everything looks good on the outside, I must be okay, right?
That is so good. And the answer is no.
Right. But we see this a lot in Chicago. I mean, this is universal, but man, Chicago is so full of appearance focused people.
Big time. And I mean, and here's the thing. You might be a slave to that and you need freedom in Christ today.
Yeah.
It could be that you know who Jesus is, but you've never found the freedom through salvation of how he can free you from that appearance focus. It's deadly. Give a second one.
Yeah, the second one is performance focus. I think of this one as I give to charity. I volunteer my time. I don't drink alcohol on Sundays. I go to church on Christmas. This is the things that I do, the good deeds.
But real religion, according to James, the half-brother of Jesus, is to care for widows and orphans in their need. Oftentimes we think real religion is, I paid at the office, man. I put the check in the plate.
Yeah, I'm good.
And then we walk out the door and we walk right past that person that's in need and we know it. Yeah. Now, by the way, does that mean that you stop and you take care of every homeless person? No, we can't. But does it mean that we are at least sensitive to all those needs and have a measured Holy Spirit response?
Yes.
You better,
mm-hmm.
or else we're still slaves.
Yeah. And this last one, so it's a little bit harder to pin down. The others focused. I think this can easily be the person who has the attitude of those church people. They can't be trusted. They're so hypocritical. Have you seen it? How many leaders have fallen lately? Have you seen how they do this, that, and the other? And these expectations of perfection, really, from other people.
It's so true, Allie. I mean, these are big boys, man. And you know what? As I'm thinking about it, because I talk about in this book that I've got coming out, and I really, honestly, I hate to qualify this, but I don't mean that in a self-aggrandizing way. I'm just pumped that it's coming out. I really am, because it's for me. If no one else, including the journal I've got coming out, I've already thought about this. If no one else uses it, I will, and it's helping me.
There you go.
That's great.
It's a good thing.
And I mean that. But here's the interesting thing. Allie's going to be interviewing me on a video thing next week, by the way, that's getting some material loaded up for when it releases in January. And one of the questions that she asks, and although I answer it in the book somewhat, I never really pin down fully, because you can't put everything in a book, guys. It's amazing. You think you can. These chapters, I was scrambling for what do I leave out. It was so painful. But here's the truth. When you think about broken systems that leave you empty, appearance focus, performance focus, and others focus, and measuring yourself against others, these are the big mammoths right here. Mm. These are the three big boys.
And each of these allows you to position yourself in a way where you feel like I'm doing okay. Everything looks nice on the outside, so I'm doing okay. I'm doing these good deeds, so I must be okay. I'm certainly better than other people, or these are the flaws that I see, or the ways that other people are failing, so I'm okay. Every single one of these is so easy to fall into.
It is. And I mean, even after you're born again. But here's the reality, and here's what we want to encourage you with today, is that God wants to set you free from you and your self-help. And we'll talk about exactly how he's going to do that coming up.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Diane, thank you for calling in this morning from Palos Heights. What's your story? What were you looking to try to self-help your way through life?
I was doing well at my job, and all of a sudden it kind of fell apart. And I realized that my job was who I was. And so I went through this horrible time of trying to find myself, et cetera. I was missing something. I was hurting. So I bought all these self-help books. And afterwards, I counted them. I bought 67 self-help books to try to find the answer.
That's a lot of self-help, sister.
Wow.
It was, but none of them worked. And one day I was praying to God saying, why? I'm doing everything that I can do.
Good.
Why isn't it working? And I felt this small voice inside of me say, because you haven't read my book.
Ooh.
Boom!
So, his Woo! Word of God.
That's why we call you the...
Later,
28.
28 years later, I am still reading his book, and it's the only book out there that will help.
Diane, you are the poster sister for that one.
I love that.
Listen, if you're new to the Boom Crew, we go boom. Why? Because that's what you guys do. You blow us away, and we just say, that's our modern-day amen. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. And honestly, sister, triple boom to you. Boom,
it's amazing.
Boom, boom. What a great statement.
67
self-help books. Diane, are you still there?
Whenever I can.
Yeah. Diane, let me ask you a question here. Do you find, because this is, I really mean this sincerely, do you find that there were anecdotal things in those self-help books that now that you have the power of Christ that you can actually get them done?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was trying to do it myself before, because the books didn't say, turn it over to God or ask Jesus to help you. So if you don't do that, it's like a nice phrase, but that's it.
I'm falling down in here.
Power is.
Diane, that is so well put. You've captured it.
I am falling down in here. The books didn't say you've got to give it to God.
Yeah, because all the things about, you know, time management, all these different things good principles, but without the power of Christ, it's futile.
Amen.
Wow.
Diane, I'm going to do something really different. Stay on the horn. As soon as I get one, I don't have it yet, but I'm going to get a pre-copy of my book. It's called The Seven Resolutions, Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins.
Yeah.
I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to send it to you, but I want you to write a review out there somewhere. And because I think you're the perfect girl to do this. That is for sure.
Another book.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. This is pointing people to the book. That's
Amen.
The difference.
That's great.
Wow. Thank you. God bless you all.
God bless you, sister.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
12 Days of Christmas continues today. We have been opening gifts under the tree for you every day at the 8 o'clock hour for 12 days straight. Woo-hoo. We go under the tree, we unwrap a gift, and two winners receive the prize, a call-in winner and an online winner. And you can enter both ways. So be listening in the 8 o'clock hour for your cue to call in. But even before then, go to carlandcrew.org, Carl with a K, carlandcrew.org. Click on 12 Days of Christmas. One entry is all you need. You're good for the whole 12 days. And then each day, be listening and watching on Facebook Live.
You know, there's a lot of us that listen to this show that have been exposed to religion. Okay. We have a lot of that here in Chicagoland.
Yeah.
And whether it's Lutheran Church, Methodist Church, Baptist Church, non-denominational mm-hmm. church, Catholic Church, you name it, the list goes on and on. We've been exposed to a lot of religion. That is one of the most dangerous things in the world.
Why?
Because it anesthetizes us, or can anesthetize us, to the real thing. The real deal. It's like being so close, but having not yet been there. Hmm. And so maybe you've walked around a resort, but you've never stepped into it. So you feel like, I was there. You know, it's kind of like our trip to Bermuda. We were for a couple of days cruising around the island. Now, thankfully, we went into dock for one day, but we were cruising around the island because we couldn't get in. It was too choppy waters. So would someone say we went to Bermuda? Yeah and no. You know sure. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have that relationship with God. And I say it sadly. I don't say it with glee. Because the deception of salvation is a horrible thing. We find here in the book of Luke, we find Jesus blasting a group of people, not to blast them, but to really shock them into what's going on in their life and what kind of a myth they perpetuated on other people. The myth, and that's three components, really. It was all about on the outside, the appearance focus. The second one was a performance focus. And the third one was really a control focus. It's putting on other people things that you aren't willing to do yourself. So it's really putting them in a position where they're under control. And I want you to know this from the bottom of my heart. You might be listening this morning and you feel like, You've tried to look good enough to get to God. And I want you to know something. That will not work, because God looks at the heart when man looks at the appearance of a person. You might have been a person that has tried to, as we talk a lot about around here, you've tried to perform for God and get squared with him, right? And you've jumped through a lot of hoops. You've done a lot of good things. You've maybe been very faithful to certain ministries or churches or efforts or choirs or different things like that. There is no way, shape, or form that earns you anything with regard to your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And then the last one is an interesting one. I call it control, but really, let me read the text to you here, because this is a better way to say it. Teacher, one of the lawyers said to Jesus, "You're insulting us." See, he had already blasted him on appearance and control.
Yeah.
Said, "You're insulting us."
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." What's going on there, Allie?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So the Pharisees, I think we kind of have an understanding of who they are. The lawyers, were they also Pharisees?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah. Lawyers, scribes.
Okay.
They're in this big lump of kind of the religious elite.
Okay.
And so what they're doing here is it's more than just control. They've set up a structure where everyone else has to perform but them. So it's a weird dominance kind of a thing where everyone else has to have their act together, but they're not willing to do the very things that they put on other people.
Mm.
You might be a person like that, where you have expectations on people galore, but you can't live up to those yourself. And it's a huge thing when you realize whoa, I've got expectations on other people, but I'm not living this thing out myself. What a beautiful thing when you discover that.
Mm-hmm. It's freeing.
It's freeing, big time. So I just want you right now, in the quietness of this moment on this Friday morning here at 6:18, if you're having one of these moments where it's like, oh my goodness, I think that's me. Maybe it's appearance. Maybe it's performance. Maybe it's the expectations that you've put on others that you're not willing to do yourself. But you realize that in all three of these things, you need God's grace big time. You need his power. That's what we're talking about these 2 weeks. We're talking about getting out of this self mode. And here's what I'm wanting you to do. I want you to get freed from yourself. That's all. That's all I want you to do. Just get yourself off the hook and understand this. Jesus, we're about to celebrate his birth. He came to earth for you. So he came. Yeah, for me too and Allie too, but he came for you. And he came to not just live and teach some amazing things. He came to die. And this word is that he became the propitiation for your sin. It means that everything that you've done in the past, everything that you're doing currently, and everything that you're doing in the future is covered by the blood of Jesus. Wow. So when the blood ran down on the cross, it covered you. He paid the price. And he loves you that much. And all he says to do is follow me. So I want you to say goodbye today to any need to kind of foist on other people expectations that you know good and well you aren't willing to do yourself. Appearance, performance, anything like this at all. And come to Jesus this morning. I'm really wanting you to do that. I'm wanting you to be honest with yourself and then be courageous. Be courageous. I'm asking you to cross that threshold. And here's what this requires. It requires real humility because you've got to admit to yourself, I'm not cutting it. Only Jesus can. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Paul said. And do you want to be saved today? That's all I'm asking you. I'm just trying to be so simple here. Do you want to be saved? You might say one last clarifying point. Well, what am I saved from? You're saved from yourself.
Yeah.
You're saved from yourself. Do you want to be saved? If you do, I want you to call out to God. You don't even have to have your eyes closed with words like this right now. God, save me. God, I'm willing to admit I've been trying to control myself. I've been trying to help myself. I've actually been trying to control outcomes and other people. And today I say to you, save me. Give me life. I confess to you today that I have sin. And I need you to save my life. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Just tell him that. Thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for being alive. And thank you today for changing my heart. I follow you the rest of my life. Tell him that. I give everything to you. I give up control completely. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if that's you, I looked at this recently, Allie, and we've got a resource. I never want this to become a rote thing that we do here. I always want it to be as fresh as a spring day every time we share it. But we've got a resource that we have for you right now that'll help you take your next steps. It's super easy to read. We're not going to spam you. We're here to help you along this path.
Text the word ME to 312-274-9624. ME to 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.